This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. You know that we love to hear from you here. Let me give you those numbers that you can use to join us today live here on Women of Grace Live. If you're in North America, we've got a toll-free number for you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live. If you're outside of North America, this is your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. If you call from out of the country, we will float you to the head of the line there so that you don't have to hold for very long. So we invite you to give us a call. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, we invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, your insight, your word of encouragement, your beautiful inspiration. We want to hear from you in all of those very many ways. The chat feature there is the way that you do that online. As I say, I would like for you to let us know if you're a first-time submitter. If you're a first-time caller, we want to know about it, because then we will ring our little welcome bell for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. It makes me giddy to ring that little bell, so I do hope that you'll make me giddy today by calling in if you're a first-timer. But we love to hear from those of you who have called in the past as well. So please do not be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We do want to hear from you today. That toll-free number, once again, 833-288-EWTN. Well, I'll tell you, all kinds of good things are going on at Women of Grace. I'm going to give you a little bit of an update here and then tell you about what I'm going to be doing later this afternoon. I think you'll find it somewhat interesting. I know I will for sure. And I hope that you do in the future too, when you view Women of Grace television, that you can watch every weekday at 1 o'clock p.m. on EWTN television. So here we are with you, radio, you know, every day, every weekday, and again on television as well. So get on out there, and we invite you to go to our upcoming events located at our website, womenofgrace.com. Today is May the 9th. This evening, we are going to be having a very special evening of grace for you. It is free of charge. It is not too late for you to join us. You can register right online at our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it there listed in the upcoming events. Simply click on it. It will take you to a landing page. You'll see a big purple button or bar, really. Click on that, and that is the way that you register. You have to register so that we can send you the link so that you can join us. It's all easy breezy, and it is made accessible for you. We would love for you to come. As I say, if you've never participated in a Women of Grace event, this is a great way for you to, you know, get your toes wet a little bit and see what it is like. You will like it. I can tell you, you will like it. And then maybe you'll want to join us for one of our online Women of Grace studies or an in-person Women of Grace study that might be being held in your own very locale. So get out there and check it out. Our topic for this evening is our feminine vocation according to God's plan. Our feminine vocation according to God's plan is going to be an exciting exploration of what that vocation is and how it is that you can live it out more fully. It is a beautiful opportunity again for you to connect with some women of like mind who are eager to live that abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with others by way of their feminine genius. So I encourage you to join us for this beautiful event. It will begin this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. To 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Our two regional coordinators for this evening, Linda DeGonzaga and Denise McCain, and they are eager to meet you eager to be with you. Some of you come to these routinely. If you've never come to one, well, hey, today is the perfect day to do it, don't you think? Join us for this beautiful event. If you can't, however, make it this evening, we do have another option for you, and that option is happening on May 14th. That is a Tuesday morning, 10:30 a.m. to 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time. The two regional coordinators for that event, Mary Dillenbach and Isabel Liberatore. I must tell you, the theme is exactly the same. And what is that theme again? Our feminine vocation according to God's plan. You can come tonight. You can come back again on May the 14th. Just come. We want for you to begin to experience or to experience again the way in which God is working out his salvation with us at this moment in the history of man. It's a beautiful thing. We want you to join us. I want you to join me as well this weekend at Ave Maria University for their Marian Eucharistic Conference. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. That is the theme for this beautiful event that's going to be taking place there. I will be presenting two talks, one I do believe tomorrow evening, the other one on Saturday. So we invite you to join us for that. Lots of good speakers joining me at this event. Raymond Arroyo, Mother Adela Galindo, Kathleen Beckman, my good friend, Father Rafael Capo, Father Joseph Mary Rogers, all are the wonderful speakers that will be with you this weekend at Ave Maria University. Want to remind you about something else as well. You can register right there at our website for this event. But in addition to that, you can also register for our upcoming Women of Grace retreat. It's an annual retreat that we hold at Malvern Retreat House every summer. This year, we are going to be there the last week of June. Now, this is a little change. We're typically there the third week of July. But this year, the third week of July is offering you the Eucharistic Congress that's going to be held at Indianapolis, Indiana. So we didn't want to compete with that. And actually, I'm going to be at that event. So I couldn't be in two places at one time. That being said, we have changed the date for our beautiful, beautiful Women of Grace annual retreat to the last weekend in June. The theme is a lovely, lovely theme. The theme for this beautiful event, I think, is just going to be one that will touch you deeply, even as it is being unpacked for you at the event. Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. Divine Mercy, Crucible of New Life. We'll be exploring that topic with our guest speakers, Chris McGregor and Father Ken Geraci. I will be presenting too. We're looking forward to having you with us. I understand we already have many, many, many women who have signed up and are already planning to be with us. We still have room available though, and we want for you to register. You can do that right at our website. It is going to be preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, and that theme is Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. Let me tell you, it's going to be fantastic. Our guest presenter for this Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. If you've not listen to Discerning Hearts, I encourage you to download the app and to listen to it. You'll get a little familiar with Chris there. But she is going to be with us live and in person right there at our Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, presenting on what I think is a very provocative theme, Women Mystics and the Divine Life Within. You can join us for that, and that begins June 27th, ends the afternoon of the 28th, in time for you to join us for the retreat too. Coming right back, stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. Looking forward to hearing from you today. You just heard those numbers, but I'll repeat them again for you. Our toll-free number for you right here in North America is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986, inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call here. We want to know what's going on in your world. And if you're a first-time caller, we want to know that too, so that I can ring my little welcome bell for you and welcome you for your debut. Matthew Gubensky is on the phones. I always encourage you to say howdy hey to him when you call in. He's waiting to hear from you too. So we're all at the ready just for you. Yes, we are. So give us a call. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way that you can join us. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. Looking forward to hearing from you today. Additional to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. You can join us by way of your question or comment, and I'll answer it on the air for you. We have Michael McCall doing all of the retrieving of your comments today. So, you know, keep him busy too. Richard Jesse is in there. What is he doing? Well, he's producing this show. Yes, he is. He is working right along with TOC to bring this show to you today. And we're ever grateful for his good efforts and all of the good people there at EWTN who happen to make radio and television happen for us. I want to share with you about the great gift that we have through intercessory prayer. I understand that a man very dear to all of us at EWTN Radio, and I'm sure very dear to your hearts, is suffering right now. He is going through a real trial with cancer, and you know him. You have heard him for years right here on EWTN Radio, and his name is Al Cresta. So I would ask you to remember Al in your prayers. I would ask you to lift him up before the throne of God. He has endured the cross at many points and junctures in his life, and here is another visiting of that cross. And that leads me always to consider the fact that none of us will escape the cross. The cross is a pervasive reality in all of human experience. We each get an opportunity to experience with our Lord that reality of passion, that reality of death. It leads to resurrection, even in the midst of the trial, when we know how to appropriate that suffering well. And I'm certain that Al knows how to do that. He's a strong, strong, good Catholic man. We're going to be talking about suffering today with my guest, Father Christopher Mahar. He's written a beautiful book, Finding God in Suffering. And you'll be able to watch those programs in upcoming weeks on the television program, Women of Grace, that's seen, as I mentioned to you earlier in the program, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on EWTN television. You know, this is a great reality. We don't always understand it, nor do we like it when the cross comes. But there's great profit in the cross. I'm thinking here of the beautiful phone call that we received. I believe it was the day before yesterday. That would have been Tuesday, from Roxanne in Monongahela, Pennsylvania. And Roxanne, I have been praying for you. What a marvelous witness she gave us with her own struggle, a very debilitating, incapacitating kind of illness that she has. She shared with us that she has a very rare disease. It keeps her in bed most of the time. And how grateful she was for EWTN, and how grateful she was for the priest who comes and visits her routinely, for the opportunity to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in her own bed when she's not able to get to church. She was grateful for the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And I just know that within the context of her life of faith, this suffering that she's enduring is very profitable for her. Very profitable for her soul, but very profitable for the souls of others. And we don't always understand why it is or how it is that God determines this cross most fits our shoulder, but he does. And he never fashions a cross for us, as St. Francis de Sales, that it's not a perfect fit. If it's a perfect fit for our shoulder, then it's a perfect fit for our soul too. And he wants to work something out in us that could never be worked out if that entrustment of that portion of his cross was not given to us. So there's many ways to approach suffering. One of the ways that we can approach it is through anger, resentment, bitterness. We can also approach it through fear, kind of quaking in the inner parts of our being. Fear, is a human emotion too. And oftentimes that fear can override the hope that we need to have in God. And then there is that way. There is that way of faith that says, yes, this is hard. Yes, there are times when, boy, I'm just so angry at this disease, I could scream. There are those moments when we say, I don't know why God's given this cross to me. There are those moments when, you know, we are riddled with the uncertainty that it brings. But in the midst of all of that, God is asking us, inviting us into a deeper reality that we can only begin to experience by way of all of those emotions in light of the gift of faith, knowing that God indeed does work all things to the good, and the greatest good that can be worked out is our salvation and the salvation of others, and the cross gives us ample opportunity. Nonetheless, we don't go looking for suffering. We certainly don't. And we strive to the best of our ability to use the gift of the sacraments and the gift of medical science to alleviate the suffering. There is nothing inconsistent with a spiritual life in seeking the means that are available to reduce the suffering or abolish it altogether. That is not inconsistent. But as I often say, and you've heard me say, for the duration, for the period of time that suffering is entrusted to us, we use it for the great profit that God intends for it. We use it for ourselves and for the sake of others. So, just some words today. Oh dear, well, did you hear that? I'm sure that you can. We've got a big storm right here in the Birmingham, Alabama area. That was a big crash of thunder, lightning with it. I don't know if you heard it. I got a little crackle here, so I'm hoping I stay on the air with you. We're going to work to make that happen. But all of that being said, you know, let's reappropriate, huh? Let's reappropriate the way in which we look at suffering, asking God to give us new eyes, asking him to open the spiritual perspective of our soul that we might find him in and through all things. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. That's 833-288-3986. Evelyn is with us from Madeira, California, ringing my bell. I don't know if you're a first timer or not, Evelyn, but I'm going to act like you are. She's listening to us via YouTube. Good morning to you, Evelyn.
Hi, Jeanette. It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's not the first time I called, but this time I'm not calling about me, and you know, you're a wonderful person that, you know, anyhow, you helped me so much, so I thought I'd call in to ask for this time. It's not for me, it's a parent that came to me that, you know, is having a child, a teenager that is struggling with mental health and also very disturbing thoughts, which could be mental health, but it could also seem like there might be a possession or an oppression, as far as evil spirits, like thoughts about doing really bad things and spirits talking about evil spirits and things like that. So I recommend it to the parent to talk to a priest and also to offer masses for their child. But I really don't know what else I could recommend for them. I know for me as an adult, like, I've dealt with depression before, and, you know, but I'm a different person, and I've, you know, I persevered, and I've gone to mass, and I, you know, and just perseverance a lot. But, you know, for a parent that, you know, doesn't, I think that they're somewhat Catholic, they say they're Catholic, but they're really, like, not fully practicing, but, and have a child that I believe that they take them to mass, but also it's not 100% know, Catholic, but they are Catholic, if that makes sense.
I understand. Yes, well,
I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Well, Evelyn, thank you so much for your call, and thank you so much for your concern for your friend. That shows the empathy that you have for them, and the fact that you can relate on some level, I think just increases that capacity to be truly present to them as they go through this time. Oftentimes when people come and, you know, their faith is not very deep, what they're really wanting is just that God will take all this away. But God is, you know, our God is a patient God. He waits for us, doesn't he? I mean, sometimes we are not where we need to be in our faith. I'm perhaps, you know, saying that in reference to this family that you're speaking about. Sometimes, you know, God is patient with us when we're not following his ways at all, when we're very far away. But he waits for us. And, you know, in a sense, you know, in these moments when we're undergoing such great travail and we're suffering deeply, these parents for their child and the suffering that that creates in their own heart and soul, you know, it's very difficult to be patient with God. But we know that God works all things to the good. So there is a good that God wants to work out of this. It's hard to see that when we're in the shadows of that suffering. But that is the truth, and that is the fact. In this book that I read, that Father Christopher Mahar wrote, called Finding God in Suffering, which I highly recommend to all of you, this would be a great book, I think, for you, Evelyn, to gift them with. You can get it at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. Again, it's Finding God in Suffering, Father Christopher Mahar, M-A-H-A-R. He defines for us that there are three ways in which we suffer, basically three categories or groups, not things that cause suffering, but three ways that we suffer. We suffer physically. We understand that. I was mentioning Roxanne a moment ago, who called in the other day and we prayed with her on the air. That's physical suffering. But then there is also psychological suffering. And psychological suffering is the category of suffering that you're referring to here with this son of your friend. Those are the mental struggles that we can go through. Those are the moments of depression that we can experience. Moral suffering can also be the discouragement that we feel in life, right? It can be these kinds of, you know, and here I'm not necessarily talking about spirits of oppression, but I'm just talking about the oppressive nature of life sometimes when it gets very hard. And you know, we're feeling ourselves, you know, crumbling under the weight of what life is presenting. And then there's that third way, and that third way is moral suffering. And moral suffering is something that we all know. Moral suffering comes by way of the travail of misery and sorrow of heart that comes by way of the sins that we commit, but also the sins committed against us. And moral suffering has to do with the wounds of the heart. Moral suffering has to do with, you know, a look at our limitations. You know, I think that St. Paul was describing moral suffering when, you know, he cried out, "I do what I don't want to do, and the things that I want to do, I don't do." That's a type of moral suffering, and we can all relate to that sentiment. With regard to this young man, obviously, you know, as we say, you know, mental illness is not necessarily caused, as a matter of fact, I would say it's not caused by, you know, Satan, but he will use it and he will get into the midst of it. Now, I can say that we can open ourselves to types of psychosis and types of mental struggle through the use of drugs, etc. But when we're talking about, but I would say that that's more of an environmental kind of way in which we can experience the effects of that. I know that a lot of people that have used drugs for a very long time can actually become bipolar, and it's hard to distinguish: is this really a mental illness, or is this a residual effect of the drug abuse or the abuse that's still going on? So, you know, we have to make certain that we know what it is that we're dealing with and what it is that we're talking about. But if this is a true mental illness, if that's been categorically determined by those who have the capacity to categorically define those things, we don't want to rush to judgment and assume that it's something of a spiritual nature. The evil one can use it. But if it's truly of a spiritual nature, then that means he's inducing it. And now there are oppressing spirits that can, that, you know, again, through either our own actions, inviting the evil spirits in through occult means, you know, or through, I would say primarily occult means, or through the use of drugs, right? That, you know, if we can invite them in, and then they have permission to be there, and then they can create havoc. All right. So this is why when someone presents himself or herself to a priest, feeling that they're being harassed by evil spirits, they can be being harassed by evil spirits. They can be. But Holy Mother Church is not quick to rush to judgment. She wants to see, is there a psychological cause for this? Is there a reason for it? Is there a mental illness that's going on? Because then, you know, that treatment plan, whether it's spiritual or psychological care that sometimes will include certain types of medications to help that person, that path of treatment will take various shapes and form. So what do they do in the meantime? Well, obviously, you know what I'm going to say, Evelyn. We're going to pray. We're going to do everything that we can spiritually. We're going to beef up our life of prayer. We're going to get back to the church on a regular basis. We're going to dig deeply into this faith that is ours by way of baptism. And we're going to encourage our child in that direction as well. We're going to pray the rosary, especially that beautiful novena to Our Lady Undoer of Knots. So we're going to do that. We're going to do all of those things. That's our spiritual defense. Make use of the sacraments. Get to the sacrament of reconciliation, etc. You know, grace has an effect. You know, we talk about the effect of evil in the world. There's no question about that. But grace has an effect too. And grace is the very life of God active within our environment and within the world. And grace always trumps evil. It's stronger than evil. So if these parents begin to dig into their faith, it is going to create an influence and environment in the home. That's just the way that it works. It's true and it's real. It doesn't mean it might not get worse, especially if it's harassing spirits. It might get worse before it gets better, but that's a positive sign. And I've got more for you, Evelyn, on the other side of the break, but you do hear that music, friend. So we are going to go to a break. I want you to join Evelyn in calling us today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Coming right back after the break, inviting you to stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm so happy you're with us today. Today is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and being glad in it. And I'm encouraging you to be glad no matter what the situation or circumstance is that you're going through right now, because I got to tell you something. God has a plan in it. He certainly does. I know sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes the fog that comes up and the shadows that come up from the suffering are so great, so deep, so pervasive that our eyes, our natural eyes, cannot see it. And even our spiritual eyes are groping in that darkness, searching for hope. But I got to tell you, it's there. It's in those moments we dig deeply, and that's what I was talking to Evelyn about when we went to the break there. I'm going to get back to it in just a moment because I've got more for you, Evelyn, and then we're going to go on to Paul, and I'm inviting you to call us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm a great one for literature. I am a great one for reading. I've learned so much through the years. I have had the great privilege of interviewing so many wonderful authors, wonderful men, wonderful women, holy women, and I've learned so much through them. And I was telling you about a great book on suffering that I've just completed this past weekend, and I'm interviewing the author of it today, Father Christopher Mahar, and his book, Finding God in Suffering. I found myself several moments stopping and praying as I went through the book because it's that good. And it's available for you at EWTNRC.com. So you can get out and order it. So is Father Brian Milady's new book called A Light to All Nations on the Nature and Mission of the Church, right? I was telling Evelyn there that, you know, we got to dig deeply into our faith. We've got to dig deeply into the gifts that we are given through Holy Mother Church. And Father Brian Milady's book will help you to understand the church. It'll elevate your understanding of the church. It'll help you to unpack what one of the central documents of the Second Vatican Council tell you about the church. It's called Lumen Gentium. That means light of the world. That who is who the church is. And that light will light up your life no matter what's going on in your life. You'll learn what Lumen Gentium says, what it really taught. You'll understand it through the lens of traditional church teachings and history and philosophy. It is a beautiful book. It'll help you to understand that you're called to holiness of life, and everything that's entrusted to you by God is part of the beautiful stepping stone to that holiness that he wants you to enter into and onto at this particular moment of your life. You're going to discover all kinds of things, including the authentic character and purpose of the people of God, which means your authentic character and purpose. So get on out there, get A Light to All Nations on the Nature and Mission of the Church by Father Brian Milady. You could just go to EWTNRC.com to order it. It's available for you there now. You can listen to Father Brian Milady every Thursday on Open Line that airs at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And may I just say that you can always get free shipping on what you purchase at EWTN's religious catalog if you purchase $75 or more. And you just put free, that's the code, in at checkout there. So I'm going to get to you, Paul, in just a moment, but I wanted to read very specifically to Evelyn's question, an email response that I just sent out this week to a woman who wrote in and, was writing in about her own sufferings as a mom, her own difficulties and trials with mental disorders, and her son's trials by way of mental disorders. And I think it encapsulates a lot of what I was saying here. And then we're going to come to you, Paul. And I said, you know, dear daughter of the Most High God, I am so sorry for the suffering you, your mom, her mother also, and your son have endured by way of the difficulties and trials of mental disorders. Be assured that I am tucking you and your son into my rosary, as well as praying for the repose of your mom's soul. Know that as long as you remain in a state of grace, the devil's attempts to create additional chaos are limited. Based on what you have shared about yourself and your son, I am sure you strive to live a holy life, receive the sacraments regularly, and avoid those practices that are clearly in opposition to sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. As I'm sure you've heard me say, the devil will always lean on the weakest link, whether it is our health, our emotional state, or even a family member. We need to safeguard ourselves in those areas to the extent we can. In addition, it is good to know that some of the great saints suffered with mental issues. Saint Therese of Lisieux suffered from depression, for example, and her sister Léonie, whose cause for canonization is open, may well have been autistic. And I told her that I produced two shows with Chris McGregor on that very topic recently. They're available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. They are on DVD. They're available for you to watch at our website, womenofgrace.com. I went on and said both Saint Dimphna and Saint John of God suffered from mental illness. And there are many more saints too. Mental illness nor mental disorders stand in the way of growth in holiness and sanctity, as is evidenced by these saints who suffered themselves with mental problems. In fact, they can be the very means through which heroic virtue can develop. So take heart, I wrote. Call on these saints and others to help you in your struggle. Pray, receive the sacraments, trust. You can be a saint, and that is the very good news. I included a link to her, to an article that talks about a variety of the saints who had mental disorders, and you can access that too. It's at Aletheia, and you can just put in saints who battled mental illness. As a matter of fact, if you just put that into a search engine, this website will come up for you, and you'll be able to read about it. So if you're in that situation, or if you have a loved one who is, or if you're like Evelyn and have friends who are struggling with this within their own family, you might want to give them that link. This is one of the ways that we can evangelize and be, you know, that light in the darkness for someone, right? We can be the very messenger of hope that God wants us to bring into the life of someone. Let's get to Paul. Paul is in Howell, New Jersey today. We're happy to have you, Paul. Domestic Church Media is the way he's listening. And thanks for calling back, because I know you called in the other day and we couldn't get to you. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, Jeanette. How are you?
Dandy peaches. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been a while. I just wanted to tell you real fast, I was struggling a little bit for a while with a recurring sin, and I was down and out about it, and it really put me in the dark for a couple of months. And I decided that I really wasn't trying hard enough to fight against what I was doing. And that day, I think it was a Monday, I turned on your show. It was the first time in a while, I hate to admit, but I turned on your show, and you were talking exactly about that. And to me, I mean, that lifted me up so much. And, you know, to me, that was God talking to me through you. And I just want to start off by telling you how much I greatly appreciate what you do and your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you. I'm glad that the show could be of service to you in that moment. You know, what you're saying there, I think if you don't mind me just tying it into what we were talking about earlier, is that category of suffering we call moral suffering. You know, it's just the very quote that I used to exemplify that in the life of St. Paul, you know. Oh my gosh, he's complaining to the Lord about himself, you know. I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. And it does take a real dedication of heart and mind and spirit to try to tame those areas of weakness and imperfection in ourselves, those frailties. And sometimes we fall down. I was just reading something about St. Teresa of Avila that comes from her book, Way of Perfection. She writes this to her sisters. And this was a very candid thing for her to share with them. She's talking about that moment in her life when she, you know, was struggling in the convent. Here she was, a cloistered nun. But she had weaknesses, and they were, you know, they were pretty serious weaknesses that were really preventing her from living out the fullness of her vocation. And she said, you know, the saints give her courage. And she says, you know, she mentions like Saint Magdalene, right? Mary Magdalene. And she says, but here's the thing with them and the woman caught in adultery and all of these others, you know, they sinned, and they sinned gravely, but then the Lord forgave them, and they never sinned again. She says, I, on the other hand, I sin. You know, I've fallen again and again and again. And she was, you know, disturbed by that. But she said that, you know, the fact of the matter is, we can be triumphant. And she became triumphant. And hers was, you know, the weaknesses that she was referring to was, you know, were, you know, a frivolity of nature. Frivolous things was occupying her time. And she was taking great pleasure in these frivolous things and the amount of visitors that she had, even though she was a cloistered religious sister. And it was very fanning to her, you know, to her ego. But she kept falling and falling. So you've got great saints that can intercede and pray with you and for you, Paul.
Well, I just wanted to let you know it was very encouraging to me, and I appreciate it. Why I called today, Jeanette, I was hoping for a prayer request.
Sure.
Two things. One, a good friend of ours, his name is Drew. He's a police officer.
And, Rudy?
He's a very good police officer. No, it's Drew.
Spell it for me.
As in, D-R-E-W.
Oh, Drew. Okay, thank you.
Drew, right.
Okay.
And he's a very good police officer, and he's a young man. He had a very serious back surgery, and he's not doing well with it. He's in a lot of pain, and I'm afraid that his career might be in jeopardy, and mm-hmm. I just think it would be a terrible thing. He's due to get married very soon, and I was just hoping that we could reach out and say something for him. To get him back on his feet and to get him back in the street where he can be of service to God and to the people. And the other quick one is for my son, Ethan. I called in last year and asked you to pray for him. He was in the fire academy at the time, and he was struggling, I think, and he came through with flying colors, and I wanted to thank you for that. He's taking a very important test tonight that's going to be important to his career, and I was wondering if you could say something for him, too.
Sure. So let's just pray. We'll pray for Drew, and we'll pray for Ethan. And so, Father God, you know the intention of our heart. We're lifting these two men up to you in this moment. And as I like to remind you, Lord, you've created them so beautifully. You've created them in your image and in your likeness. And when you foresaw them from all eternity, you destined them. You destined them for a particular mission that they would live out, a mission that would be reflective of you in the world. And here are these two men. I think about this, Lord, these two men connected by the fact that they are first responders, connected by the fact that when people are in need, they are there. And how is it that you were reflected in them at that moment? You are reflected in them in your love for these individuals, in your paternal care, in your desire to protect them from the harms that can come to us through the vicissitudes of life and the actions of man and the various kinds of reversals and trials that we face and the disappointments that we face. Father God, you intentioned them for this great mission, and here they are striving to live it out to the fullness, striving to live it out in the way in which you desire for them. And here's your son, Drew, Lord. He's had this surgery now, and it prohibits him from, in the immediate moment, from resuming this career where you can be imaged through him and your own protective love, your own paternal care, your own desire for the safety and well-being of your of your children that you've created in your image and likeness can be displayed, Lord. So I am asking, Father God, that this difficulty that he's experiencing right now and all of the suffering and pain that he is in, Father God, I pray first that he does not waste that. We never want to waste our suffering for the duration of time, as I said earlier, that at last we want to use it to the greatest profitability. And that is for the salvation of souls, our soul, but the souls of others. And this is a man who is tuned to the needs of others. So I pray, Father, that in this moment, he sees himself still on the front lines. He sees himself still in the fray. He sees himself, Father God, engaged in a protective effort, now in a spiritual dimension, as opposed to the physical dimension executed by his person in the midst of the difficulties that come by way of our communal society today. So, Father God, I ask that you will help him, at least for this moment, revision this call. Revision it, Lord. And that even as he's suffering with this disability, you know, he sees this as an engagement in the battle for the salvation of people, greater than the salvation of their mortal being. Salvation for their immortal reality. So, Father, I'm asking for healing. I'm asking for healing of his vision right now, but I'm asking for a complete healing of this back condition. I'm asking that you know, whatever the doctors have done, you would go in there now with the healing balm of the Holy Spirit and the healing power of the Holy Spirit, and you would augment it. As a matter of fact, you would imbue it with your divine life, and that he would today begin a process of real restoration, that the pain would begin to subside, and that would be a sign that he will be back engaged physically, but not the way that he was before, because now he'll have a greater insight to the spiritual reality of what he is about, and that will make him even a greater force. A greater force to be contended with in moments of battle in both the physical and the spiritual dimensions. And what about Ethan, Lord? Look at this man. Oh my goodness, Father God. He wants to run into burning buildings and save the lives of people. Father God, can you imagine? Yes, you can, because you envisioned this career from him, for him, from before the very first foundation of the world was laid in place. And Father, now you know where he is. You have aided him and made way for him as he came through his training to be a firefighter. Here he is now, full-fledged. And, you know, he's got this test tonight. This test that can open doors for him, Lord, that can put him into even better positions to help those who are in distress. I'm thinking of all of the times that your son came to people in distress. I'm thinking of all the people that he healed. I'm thinking of the woman with the hemorrhage. She was in distress. I'm thinking of at Jairus, who came to you. He was in distress about his daughter. I'm thinking about the mother whose son had passed away and our Lord raised him back to life. He was in distress. She was in distress. I'm thinking about Martha and Mary when their brother Lazarus died. They were in deep distress and you raised him from the dead. Here is your son now, and he needs your help that he might be you to these people when they are in distress. That when he responds to that call and he enters into that building or he's there to help clear up the scene of an accident, when he's there, Lord, in whatever capacity, he is you tending to those who are in distress. He, in his own way, is living out his baptismal reality of priesthood with a small p. And in those moments, he is in persona Christi. So, Father, I'm asking that in your mercy and guidance, in your mercy and love, and through the light of the Holy Spirit and illumination of intellect as he sits and takes this test this night, that just as he came through with flying colors when he was made a full-fledged firefighter, I pray that he'll come through this test with flying colors too, that he might be of even greater service to your people. And so it is with complete confidence that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Well, there you have it, Paul. The Holy Spirit's on it.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. You're a terrific person. God bless you.
Well, thank you. You know, we're all in this thing together, and we're all striving, and none of us is where we need to be. We've got miles and miles to go, right, until we are made ready for eternal life. Just pray that we finish the course by the time it's time to go.
We will as long as you stay on the air.
Oh, my goodness. You give me way too much credit, Paul. But God bless you. Pray for me, okay?
I do every day. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. God bless you now. Bye-bye. So, you know, here, isn't this interesting what God's done in the program here? We've had questions about physical, suffering, and questions about moral suffering, and we've had questions about psychological suffering, all wrapped up in the program today. God is about to work. Let's get to Jennifer. Oh, I'm so excited. I get to ring my bell, and that's for you, Jennifer. She is with us from Ashburn, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning and welcome, Jennifer.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Good morning.
You.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Very well.
Hi. Thank you. I haven't called in before, but I felt just that maybe training on the radio would provide an outlet. I was coming from my daughter's school. She just had her first reconciliation. Oh. And I was going to talk with a priest about a friend of mine. Her daughter also attends this Catholic school. However, her daughter is not Catholic, and my friend is not Catholic. And I had just wondered, some things that she says just make me very uncomfortable with Catholicism, and maybe I just don't know about them, and maybe they are okay, but in the way at least that I was raised, very old school of fire and brimstone, they were not what the Ten Commandments teach.
Okay.
So this, a friend of mine, you know, she says that she's a healer, and she talks about, you know, being clairvoyant and going to mediums or psychics, mm-hmm. and calling on 39 angels. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered, is there anywhere in Catholicism in the teaching that's okay?
No.
I don't. Yeah.
That's the short answer. There isn't. No. And Jennifer, I would really recommend that if you don't have a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that you get one, mm-hmm. Because yeah. there's a whole section in there that talks about that. These things are abhorrent to God. And that's his language, not my language. It's the language of Scripture. They're abominations to him. And so yes. she's consorting with spirits. They're demons. These are not angels. She's opening herself up to some of the stuff we were talking about earlier in the show, to oppressive spirits. Yeah. She's welcoming them in. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous for her. It's dangerous for her family. And no good will come. Now, the evil one, can imitate healing. You know, we have to remember that Satan was the highest of the angels. Some of the theologians believe that he was a seraphim. That's the highest choir, and he was highest in the choir. And so he was the angel of light. When he fell from heaven and took a third of the angels with him, that's an infinitude of angels. When he took a third of them with him, they didn't lose their powers. But now the powers that were meant for good, they use for evil. And healing is one of them. And so he can imitate the healing, and people might seem to be healed for a period of time, but they're not. And the illness, the malady, will come back oftentimes worse than it was in the first place. So what I would advise you to do is to pray for this woman, to pray the rosary specifically. And when the Lord opens the door for you to have a discussion with her, especially in light of her little one, I think it would be very important for you to mention all of this to her, Jennifer. Thank you for your call, honey. I wish I could have spent more time with you. We love being with all of you. God bless you. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com.